Most foreign criminals will be deported straight away if they receive a custodial sentence under new government plans. The Justice Secretary, Shabana Mahmood, said the proposals meant anyone from overseas who abused British laws would be sent packing. But the Conservatives warned that other countries could refuse to take people back. Jacqueline McKenzie is an immigration lawyer.
My initial instinct is that it's going to be very difficult. We've already got schemes that are quite similar to these. I mean, they're not instant, but we've got something called an early release scheme, a facilitated returner scheme, and those things don't work very well. So there's no evidence that this is going to work any better.
President Zelensky has thanked the UK and other countries for insisting that Ukraine is represented at peace talks between the US and Russia next Friday. President Trump and Putin are due to meet face-to-face in Alaska to discuss the war, but Ukraine has not been invited. The United Nations Security Council is due to meet later to discuss Israel's decision to expand its military operation in Gaza. The plan, which includes taking control of Gaza City, has been criticised by the UN and several countries, including Britain, France and Canada. Tens of thousands of people in Israel protested against the decision yesterday evening. The charity Amnesty International has described the arrests of more than 470 people at a demonstration in central London yesterday as deeply concerning. 466 of the arrests were for support of Palestine Action, which was banned last month under anti-terror laws. The offence is punishable by up to 14 years in prison. Police in Gloucestershire say a man has died and another person has been seriously injured after a tractor crashed into cars parked in a field last night. They'd gathered near Tewkesbury for a vintage car show. A man in his 20s has been arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous driving and driving while unfit through alcohol. The Home Office says 435 migrants were brought to shore at Dover in Kent yesterday. They were trying to cross the channel in seven boats before being intercepted by the Border Force and the RNLI. The weather now: dry, warm and sunny in the south of England, cloud and rain developing in Northern Ireland and Scotland this evening. Highs of 27 Celsius in London, 25 in Cardiff, 20 in Edinburgh and 19 in Belfast. BBC News at 2 minutes past 12. And now on Radio 3, it's Private Passions with Michael Barclay.
This week's Private Passions is another chance to hear a conversation I recorded in 2017 with the pianist Alfred Brendel, one of the greatest musicians of the 20th and 21st centuries, who died in June this year at the age of 94. His sometimes surprising music choices included works by Gesualdo, Zelenka and Bizet, alongside works by some of the composers he was most closely associated with as a performer, Schubert, Liszt, Bach and Beethoven. Brendel was too modest to choose any of his own recordings, so I've picked some of my favourites to play at the end of the programme, including a work by another of the composers with whom he had the greatest affinity, Mozart. Alfred Brendel gave his first public recital in Graz, Austria, in 1948 at the age of 17, and he went on to perform around the world for more than 60 years. After his retirement from the concert stage in 2008, he relished the chance to teach young musicians and to spend more time going to exhibitions, reading and writing. When we met, I wondered whether he was enjoying the freedom of life away from the concert platform or whether there were aspects of performing that he really missed.
Well, I like to perform, but I was not hooked on it, which showed that I could stop when I really wanted to stop. And I had played for 60 years. It was quite enough. And I didn't shed a tear. But I was very glad if other people did.
Well, they did, actually. I'm sure there'll be lots of your fans listening to Radio 3 who'll be very curious to hear what you've chosen. So perhaps we ought to get on with that. And the first choice is perhaps particularly surprising. Not piano music, not classical music, but a Berlin cabaret song from the late 20s. This is a good place to start because it takes us right back to your childhood in northern Moravia, in what is now the Czech Republic. And your mother used to sing this.
Yes, she didn't sing a lot, actually, at home, but for some reason she was always very embarrassed that she sang it at all. She said, isn't it silly?
But she rather obviously loved it, because for all its silliness, and that's something you've gone on to love, things that are slightly silly, or very silly.
She was not quite aware how delicious silliness could be. But it was an important moment for me. Only later I realized that this was my initiation to inspired nonsense. And I belong to the people who enjoy nonsense no less than sense. And I shall translate the words. I tear out one of my eyelashes and stab you dead with it. Then I take a lipstick and paint you red. In case you are still cross with me, I know what I will do. I shall order fried eggs and sprinkle you with spinach.
Professor Nicodemus will nach Afrika, zweck Studium der Gegend da. Deswegen lässt das schöne Fräulein Meyerbeer ihm keine Ruhe mehr. Sie fragt ihn, musst du wirklich nach den Tropen fort? Ja, sagt er, ich such Käfer dort. Da schleicht sie sich ganz dicht heran und schreit ihn grässlich an. Ich reiß mir eine Wimper aus und stech dich damit tot. Dann nehm ich einen Lippenstift und mach dich damit rot. Und wenn du dann noch böse bist, weiß ich nur einen Rat. Ich bestelle mir ein Spiegelei und bespritz dich mit Spinat. Du, 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 du. Dann bestell ich mir ein Spiegelei und bespritz dich mit Spinat. Der Forscher Nicodemus steht am Marterpfahl, das gibt ein feines Mittagmahl. So spricht der große Häuptling Zizibambula zu seiner Großmama. Die Kannibalen tanzen schon den Wackeltanz und pieken ihn mit Speer und Lanz. Der arme Nicodemus weint, huch, huch, du böser Feind. Ich reiß mir eine Wimper raus und stech dich damit tot. Dann nehm ich einen Lippenstift und mach dich damit rot. Und wenn du dann noch böse bist, weiß ich nur einen Rat. Ich bestelle mir ein Spiegelei und bespritz dich mit Spinat. Du, du.
Max Hansen with a Berlin cabaret song from 1928, to words by Charles Amberg. We were talking just now about your childhood in what is now the Czech Republic. But you moved around, Alfred Brundle.
And I was very happy about it in hindsight that I grew up ambulantly, because I'm not a person who needs to be rooted. I do not sympathize with nationalism and chauvinism of any kind.
Of course, at that time, Europe was in a state of turmoil with Hitler.
A little later, yes. Yes. And that has very much influenced my further life and my whole thinking. I have vivid recollections of the war, of bombs exploding, of armies approaching.
And in fact, at one point you even saw Hitler, didn't you?
It was in Graz, yes, when he came in with a cavalcade of cars, and people on the street were cheering him. Mm. But of course, I saw it often in the newsreels. And I'm still hearing his voice and the voice of Goebbels that came so often through the radio. It still rings in my ears. I very distinctly remember when the Russians entered Styria, where I was taken from Zagreb, I fled with my mother to the west of Austria and joined my father, who fortunately never had to shoot. As soon as Styria became part of the British zone, we moved back again to start a new existence.
Is it possible to say what effect this has on a young person to see all of this going on?
In my case, as I had witnessed so much faith and belief in ideas, it has made me immune against that sort of thing. No, just before the end of the war, even youngsters were mobilized. I was just very lucky that I escaped just by a hair's breadth. Yes, I was 14 when the war ended.
Yes, so it could easily have swept you away.
Yes. And then from 1950 to 1970, I was resident in Vienna before settling in London, where I still live. Among the many reasons that attracted me about London, there were also some musical ones, particularly the Promenade Concerts, which is a unique institution, as well as the third program of the BBC. And there was a third item, which is the quality of choir singing. So my next example is from a madrigal of Gesualdo, Count of Venosa, who may be the only member of high aristocracy to ever become an important composer. And he was wealthy enough to be able to afford composing music in his own rather eccentric way, which I greatly admire. It is turbulent in its emotions. Non
I Love You Not, from the third book of madrigals by Gesualdo. We heard Marco Longini conducting Delizie Musicae. What did you think of that performance?
I think the rests between the units were a bit excessive. But compared to all the performances 40, 50 years ago, it is a bonus that there is not much vibrato.
Yes, you need the clarity, really, don't you, in order to hear the harmony.
Yes.
You were saying, Alfred Brendel, that your childhood wasn't particularly musical, and I wonder how it was that you were only 17 when you gave your first public recital in Austria.
Before that, I had two ladies teaching me, one in Zagreb and one in Graz. And the one in Graz was nobly suggesting to me when I was 16 that from now on I should work by myself. She would recommend me to play for the Swiss pianist Edwin Fischer, and I should give a first recital. The program and the title of the recital I devised myself. It was called The Fugue in Piano Liturgy. That's getting funny. The Fugue in Piano Literature. It contained a sonata of my own with a double fugue, of course.
So you must already have had a very considerable technique for her to suggest that you go to Edwin Fischer, that you give a recital.
It seemed so. I was not aware of it at all. I was not familiar with nerves yet. And it seemed that I got through. The recital was successful enough to pacify my mother, who was concerned about my future and wanted me to be an academic with a pension.
Do you think one of the most important things then, and this is something you certainly have in spades, is curiosity? Not just about music, but about the other art forms.
When I was a teenager of 15 to 17 years old, I did everything. I played the piano, I composed, I drew and painted. I wrote 24 sonnets.
What was your music like? What idiom, what language was it in?
Well, it was expressionist and partly also slightly neoclassical, which I wouldn't value so highly these days.
Well, a composer you do value very highly and who you think is unjustly neglected. And it is interesting, isn't it, how fashion means that we become obsessed with certain names to the exclusion of people who actually are quite wonderful. And Zelenka is a contemporary of Bach, and you're very keen on him, aren't you?
Yes, it doesn't happen too often that a composer of real stature has been overlooked for centuries. Zelenka was a Czech composer who was employed at the Dresden court, but never in any important position. Maybe the reason was that he was a church composer, and the man of the moment was Johann Adolf Hasse, who composed the newest kind of opera. But he was a slightly older contemporary of Bach, and I think Bach esteemed him. And this is thanks to Heinz Holliger, who unearthed some of his music in the Dresden Library, that these fascinating trio sonatas for two oboes and continuo became known.
Well, we've got Heinz Holliger and Maurice Burg, two very great oboists, playing here. This is the Trio Sonata No. 6 in C minor.
Thank you.
Music from the Trio Sonata No. 6 in C minor by Jan Zelenka in a 1973 recording led by the oboist Heinz Holliger. I'm curious, Alfred Brendel, as to which piano music you've chosen. We haven't had any piano yet. And which pianists you admire. Well, we've heard about Edwin Fischer, of course. This next choice reveals that, doesn't it? Because...
Yes, it was Alfred Cortot, the foremost French pianist of his day, who was famous for playing Chopin, Schumann, César Franck. But, he was not a natural Bach player. But listen to his playing of the cadenza from the Fifth Brandenburg Concerto. It will take your breath away.
It's only 65 bars, but it's enough to weave the magic.
Isn't that stunning?
It's as though he just doesn't take breath anywhere through it. It's just one long line.
Yes, which is so different to what one sometimes hears these days, which where everything is broken up in small units.
Alfred Cortot performing the cadenza from the first movement of Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 5, a recording made in 1932 with L'École Normale de Musique de Paris. Do you, or have you listened a lot in the past to pianists to learn, or is it important after a while simply to close your mind to that and create your own sound world?
Close my mind? I actually never did. But when I learned something from other musicians, it was more from conductors and singers.
You also used to record yourself, Alfred Brendel, and listen back. And I think you even at one point practiced in front of a big mirror.
You know so much about me. When I was 19, I think some nice people made me a present of a very good tape recorder, which I still own. And I sometimes record it myself to control my playing.
And the mirror?
And the mirror. When I did my first television performance and saw myself, I had a real shock, because I didn't realize how my face contorted while I played and how many movements I did which were not in accord with the music. So I tried to improve it and had a mirror constructed which was standing next to me. Even if it was not in front of me, I had some sort of impression of what was going on. I think it got a little bit better. And on the other hand, the public became used to my grimaces, whatever was left of them.
I don't think it really matters, because you go into your own world, don't you, when you're performing and listening to music?
Yes, it just depends how much it is in accordance with the music you play. Mm. If it contradicts the music, it is no good. I know a pianist who sways when he plays the piano, but he doesn't sway in rhythm. He sways completely irrationally against the rhythm. And that I find very disturbing.
Beethoven next. And Beethoven, Alfred, is central to your life, really. You've recorded the Beethoven sonatas three times, 70s, 80s and 90s. And I wonder how you felt your interpretation of him changed over that time.
I couldn't tell you very much about that. I mean, it is not that I sit down and listen to a recording that I didn't say the next one has to be different. But I try to improve what I find questionable. And I try to retain what was good. And I think the results of my various cycles show a slight improvement.
When that's very modest, I think rather more than that. You've asked to hear a very old recording with the Busch Quartet, a recording that's 80 years old. Do you think it's unsurpassed?
Certainly, yes, and I'm not alone. I know that my colleague Andra Schiff also thinks so. For us, these performances remain revelations.
Why is it that they are so good? Can you put your finger on it?
One of the things is that the Busch could connect notes like I've never heard other people do. When the note goes and not pa, 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 there was really a warm connection from one note to the next. There is also a warm glow in their playing that carries on. Actually, their performance of this piece is the slowest on record, I think, and the best.
It has a kind of inexorable forward movement, doesn't it? And I noticed, too, the way, even if they're different instruments that are handing each other a line, there's no gap. They fold into one another.
Oh, yes. Bush himself was very much in charge. I mean, in the way that the other players tried to come near to his own achievement.
We heard music from the central movement of Beethoven's Quartet No. 15 in A minor, opus 132, recorded by the legendary Busch Quartet in 1937. What is it, too, about that music that makes it, in a way, almost sacred, if you know what I mean?
Well, one of the reasons is that it's in a church mode, in the Lydian mode. And maybe I should give you the whole title, which is Dankgesang eines Genesenden an die Gottheit in der Lydischen Tonart, which means Song of Gratitude to the Divinity after having emerged from a grave illness. This is one of the rare instances where one can connect the life of the person with his works.
That's a late string quartet, Alfred, written when Beethoven was more or less completely deaf. And you yourself have had some quite serious loss of hearing about 5 years ago.
Well, actually, my right ear had otosclerosis since quite a while. So this happened even without sympathizing with Beethoven or the same. But then the left ear that had compensated very well over the years said one day this was enough. Fortunately, the day was after I've stopped giving concerts.
Has the hearing problem affected your enjoyment of music?
Some of it, yes. Yes, it depends what I'm listening to. I'm still able to hear the violin properly in pitch and timbre, strangely enough. The piano is not so good. It needs some time of adjustment for the piano sound. The organ is very bad.
And you must lament that terribly.
If things get too loud, it's painful. I mean, most people probably who had a breakdown of their hearing hear very little of the soft sounds. But when it gets too loud, or when you hear noise like a waiter dropping a fork, it's like an explosion.
That's interesting because Beethoven certainly suffered from hyperacusis, which is what you're talking about. Yes. Many people would think, oh, well, loud noises would be good to somebody who was a bit deaf, but it doesn't work like that.
No, not at all. Mm. So an orchestra that does not have too much brass and percussion is fine.
Haydn is quite good,
though. Oh, yeah, no, he's always good, I mean, under any circumstances.
Schubert next, and a song you describe as being particularly poignant, Die junge Nonne, The Young Nun. Is it the artists here, or the music in particular, or the combination of both?
When I choose a piece, it very much depends what the performance is, and I try to find the one that pleases me most. And in this case, it's very specific. And there was only one Schubert recording that Elisabeth Schwarzkopf did with the great pianist Edwin Fischer. And the way Fischer plays the piano in the Junge Nonne, he produces magic with the simplest means. The way he makes the bell toll is unforgettable.
Es rollt der Donner, es reicht
Schubert's The Young Nun with Elizabeth Schwarzkopf, accompanied by Edwin Fischer. Now, you've written poems, Alfred Brendel, which draw on religious imagery and sometimes from the point of view of angels and devils. And I wonder, did you have more fun with the devils than with the angels?
I wouldn't say so, no, but but my angels are maybe rather dubious creatures.
There's one of your poems that I particularly love you to read about being a Wunderkind.
Which I hadn't been. Once upon a time, I was no Wunderkind. Due to my obstinacy, though, I became one later. No easy task, stretching yourself, yet remaining under 5'6", for the sailor suit still to fit. Recently, it was on my 97th birthday, the ham and high wrote, "He performs, we are pleased to report, like a 10-year-old. I'd say it was worth it.
And, of course, the Ham and High is your local newspaper in Hampstead, where you live.
That's right.
And there is something in that whole concept of being childlike, which is important to a great performer, isn't it? That ability to conjure up a kind of twinkle and innocence.
Well, you better have the whole range from the innocence to the diabolic.
We're going to hear next another great performer you admire, the German pianist Wilhelm Kempff. This is just a very short extract again, 25 bars, I think, from the Liszt First Piano Concerto.
Yes, since my earliest days as a concert pianist, I have played works by Liszt, a composer who used to be sneered at by serious music lovers. And in Liszt's First Piano Concerto, which admittedly is not one of his most indispensable creations, there is a wonderful spell of sheer poetry. There is a great mastery of pedaling. He was maybe the greatest master of the pedal I've heard, and it's so important in Liszt's works. He was also one of the best cantabile players, as you could hear.
Wilhelm Kempff performing music from the second movement of Liszt's Piano Concerto No. 1 from a recording with Anatole Fistulari conducting the London Symphony Orchestra. I know, Alfred Brendel, that you are an admirer of certain contemporary composers, but you've actually not got any here today, have you?
Yes, I can only apologize. Here in this country, it's Bert Whistle who is the big master, I think. But there is a lot going on among younger composers here, I think.
One has to say, Private Passions has always been about composers you particularly love, but people have sometimes mentioned those they really don't like very much. And there are several composers, shall we say, those that wear their heart on their sleeve in a rather sentimental way, that you are not, shall we put it like this, particularly interested in.
Well, I would start with Rachmaninoff, yes.
And Puccini.
And Puccini and Leha, yes. This is the Bermuda Triangle of music.
Do you admire Rachmaninoff's writing from the point of view of his pianistic abilities?
No, I don't need his music, if I may say so. For me, this is music for teenagers.
Do you still sit, Alfred, at the piano and play for your own enjoyment or not?
Not since my calamity with the hearing, because I don't hear what I want to hear, what I expect to hear.
Do you dream about music?
I'm sometimes half asleep, quite often actually, and then music plays a big part. Many pieces coming to my mind, and sometimes piano works on which I continue to work in my head or wherever it comes from.
You want to finish, Alfred Brendel, with an aria from Carmen, an opera you love.
It is an opera that moves me very much. It was a favorite of Brahms, who listened to it, it seems, 20 times, and of Nietzsche, who listened to it even more often. And in looking for the most satisfying performance of the Michaela aria, I decided once more for Elisabeth Schwarzkopf, recorded in 1950. This was her finest period, and her French diction is superb.
And this is the aria where she's singing that nothing frightens her. Has fear ever deterred you, or have you always been rather hopeful that things will work out?
I'm a pessimist who enjoys being pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Alfred Brendel, for all the surprises you've given us, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Schwarzkopf in her 1950 recording of Michaela's aria from Bizet's Carmen, the final choice of Alfred Brendel when he was my guest on Private Passions in 2017. It was a Loftus production for Radio 3. The producer was Elizabeth Burke. You can find details of all the music choices on BBC Sounds, where you can also catch up with yesterday's Music Matters, Piano Stories, featuring Brendel's final interview. I'm Michael Barclay, and you're listening to Private Passions on BBC Radio 3, a special edition celebrating the pianist Alfred Brendel. As I mentioned at the start of the programme, Alfred didn't include any of his own recordings in his selection for us, so I thought we should hear some to end with. What I loved about Brendel's playing was the way he quite ferociously avoided getting in the way of the composer's intentions. He saw his role as bringing clarity to what the composer had written. Brendel revered Bach, although he didn't record a huge amount of Bach's music. And he told me that he tended to reserve his public performances of Bach for encores. Bach's chorale prelude, I Call to You, Lord Jesus Christ, arranged for piano by Ferruccio Busoni and performed by Alfred Brendel. Another of Brendel's signature composers was Mozart. He recorded all the Mozart piano concertos in the 1970s and 80s with Neville Mariner and the Academy of St. Martin in the Fields, and it's still a landmark cycle. And then several of them again in the 2000s with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra conducted by Charles McCarris. Alfred's son, the cellist Adrian Brendel, has suggested a particular favourite for us to play today, a movement from the Concerto No. 22 in E-flat, Kirkel 482. This is the sprightly finale.
Thank you.
finale of Mozart's Piano Concerto No. 22 in E-flat, Kochel 482, with Alfred Brendel and the Scottish Chamber Orchestra, conducted by Charles McCarris. I'm Michael Barclay, and you're listening to Private Passions on BBC Radio 3, a special edition celebrating the pianist Alfred Brendel. When I was running the Cheltenham International Festival of Music, I invited Alfred Brendel to come, but unfortunately we didn't really have a sufficient budget. However, because we were doing lots of contemporary music, and particularly Harrison Birtwistle, and Alfred wanted to support us in that, he told his agent to tell me that he would come for a reduced fee in order to support the festival. And he came and not only did many recitals, but also an entire cycle of the Beethoven Piano Concertos, one of his last. I noticed at one of the rehearsals that all his fingers had plaster on them from the intensive practice he'd put into it. And I remarked on this, and Alfred, who, of course, loved to play on words, and he did so in his poetry, turned to me and he said, "Well, Michael, I play best when I'm plastered." Brendel was one of the great Schubertians of all time. So to end this special Private Passions, let's hear the last of Schubert's first set of impromptus, the one in A-flat from Brendel's widely admired 1988 studio recording. It's a piece I love, and I love his performance of it, and I was very fond of Alfred himself.
Thank you. Schubert's Impromptu in A flat, Opus 90, Number 4, performed by Alfred Brendel. Private Passions was presented by Michael Barclay, who recorded his conversation with Alfred Brendel in 2017. At the same time next week, Michael's guest is Ursula Jones, the co-founder of the English Chamber Orchestra. That's in Private Passions next Sunday afternoon at 12.
In a new series of Music Matters on BBC Radio 3, piano technician to the stars Ulrich Gerhardt chats with some of the most celebrated pianists of our age.
There was something about the feel of it. I don't know, I was transported.
The first episode features a conversation with his mentor and friend, the late Alfred Brendel, which turned out to be his last recorded interview.
Do you remember the prom in 1991 when we first met?
The Brahms Fifth.
That's right.
Yeah, very much so.
It's a very important piece, isn't it?
Piano Stories. To listen, just search Music Matters on BBC Sounds.
And there's more music for piano next here on BBC Radio 3, as it's time to join Sarah Moore-Peach.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3's Music Map, the show where we plot a single piece of classical music within a landscape of connected sound. Today, our destination point is the Concerto for Piano Left Hand by Maurice Ravel, a true showpiece for both piano and orchestra. Written at the end of the 1920s for the pianist Paul Wittgenstein, who'd lost his right arm in the war, Ravel's Left Hand Concerto was a special commission that blends the influence of jazz with dazzling pianistic virtuosity across a single 18-minute movement. And I just love the orchestral writing there. Harmonic echoes of Jupiter from Holst Planets in what we've just heard, but also a touch of this.